If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
You're listening to The Gary Meyer Show. I'm Paul Lisnick in for Gary today and tomorrow till 7 o'clock. And whenever I sit in this radio chair, I do what I can to, because I'm a huge TV fan, huge TV buff. And so trying to talk to, and I don't say this lightly, a legend of television is something I love to do. I've chatted with Carl Reiner on this show and others.
Darling.
He is such great fun. And now I introduce to everybody June Lockhart. You know her as the mom. She played Ruth Martin, as you just heard in those credits, on the show Lassie from 1959 to 1964. My favorite role, I got to be honest, I'm going to talk about Lassie. Dr. Maureen Robinson, of course, in Lost in Space, though that's one of the greatest shows, I think, of all time. And Petticoat Junction, Dr. Janet Craig, a show that I watched for so many years. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to talk, the phones are lighting up. But if you want to talk to June Lockhart, 312-981-7200. June, Happy New Year to you.
Oh, and the same to you. I hope you had a nice Christmas and that you're not freezing your ass off back there in Chicago.
It's a little cold here, but I imagine you're on the West Coast where things are a little bit nicer for you.
75 or going up to 80 this week out here in Santa Monica where I live.
I love it. So, June, there's so much to talk to you about. You know, I have to be honest. I could never watch Lassie because I'm a huge animal nut, and
I
just couldn't handle the fact that Lassie could get endangered or something. So just tell me, Lassie was never hurt in the performance of any stunts, right?
No, never, of course, and if it was, of course, we had the motion picture animal rights people would come over and check if somebody had thought something bad was going on.
Even back then?
It never was. And, of course, the dogs, there was, I hate to break your faith here, but there was about, over the 6 years that I did the show, I worked with four different main dogs. Uh-huh. And they work for treats all day. That's why they look so alert and their ears are up and the trainer is standing behind, for instance, if it was a shot of me
right.
in a close up and the dog was supposed to be looking at me, really he's looking at the trainer who's on a ladder behind me waving a piece of beef at him.
You're telling us Lassie wasn't as trained as wasn't as responsive as we think to you and your lines?
No, he was responsive to the meat that the trainer was holding behind me. And, of course, the dogs were only fed once a day, which most people only feed their dogs at night when they get home from work.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. The dogs were fed at night when they got home. So all day long, they were looking for little treats of beef. And that's what was really going on there.
I have to tell you this very quick story. So I do public speaking, right? And I was going to the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I checked in and I said, you know, do you happen to have an upgrade for me? And they said, well, you know, we can give you the governor's suite. And then they went, no. They said, now, wait a minute, though. No, we can't. We have a celebrity staying in that room. And I said, who? It was Lassie. And I kid you not, a limo pulled up, Lassie got out, went back in the limo, drove away, and I went, what happened? And when they came back, the trainer with Lassie at that time said, well, Lassie had to go to the bathroom, so we had to go.
Yeah.
And then she came, and in she came. Those dogs, Lassie, and of course there's been several, they're very regal.
Oh, yes. Well, now, of course, and here's an interesting story about that the dog had to go to the bathroom. The dog was trained to only go on grass. So here's a story for you. We were in New York staying at the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
And with the dog and the trainer, two trainers, the dog and we were doing these personal appearances. And John Provost was with me.
Uh-huh.
Not for the purposes of this anecdote, however. So anyway, I came into the lobby at night, and the trainers were there, Rudd Weatherwax and Sam, and they were laughing. And they had been in Central Park, of course, with the dog for its evening constitutional, shall we say.
Right, yeah.
Because it was now midnight. And so once they carry a flashlight so that they can watch what the dog does and where he goes, take it off the leash, let it run a little bit and on the lawn. And so they were following the dog with the flashlight, and the dog went over to an area under a bush. Okay. At which point they heard voices. Oh, no. And Lassie had discovered a couple making love under the bush. And, of course, but can you imagine the surprise of rolling over and looking up and seeing Lassie with two trainers with a flashlight shining on you?
And she was probably just looking for beef treats.
He was just looking for a little private place to go. And so the trainers thought that was one of their most remarkable experiences in Central Park.
I keep saying she. Lassie was a he.
They were all he's. Because they're easier to train. They don't lose their coats twice a year. And the females are very difficult to train.
Ah.
They're very independent.
You know, that's like a setup for a joke that I'm not going to pick up on.
No, don't do it.
On that comment.
The dogs they're bigger, and the ruff is bigger. You know, the coat is thicker, and they're bigger dogs.
Better for the camera. June, there's so many people that want to chat with you. We want to let some of them in. Dwayne's calling in from Bellwood. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, I have a question. June, you were in Christmas Carol with your parents. What was that like, and do you have any stories?
Oh, it was a superb experience. That was my debut movie. And, you know, every year, all my life, we at Christmas would perform Christmas Carol for our dinner guests. So when I was 12 years old, and they decided to make the movie and use my parents as Mr. and Mrs. Cratchit. It just seemed like a very normal thing to do, to be in Christmas Carol again. And even at our house, Leo G. Carroll, who in the movie played the ghost of Christmas
yes.
past.
And he was the boss head man from Uncle, by the way.
Yeah, but at our house every year, he would play Scrooge. And Christmas Carol was a very important part of my growing up. And also my mother, who had been born in England, was a member of the Dickens Fellowship Association because of her performance of Dickens as a young girl at 16 years of age or something. So Dickens was always a part of my early life. So being able to be in Christmas Carol was a great treat. And now to find that it's on so many times every year on Turner Classic Movies is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yes, gosh. We're talking about performance. Went back to all the way to 1938. You had the chance. I want to talk to you. You performed with your own daughter who's played you. Welcome back to the Gary Meyer Show. Paul Lisnick in till 7 o'clock. And I'm talking to the legendary June Lockhart, who, of course, played the lead in that, Dr. Maureen Robinson. And, June, I have to ask you, you received probably, I imagine, one of the greatest honors of your career. NASA presented you with their Exceptional Public Achievement Medal for your talent and for inspiring the public about space exploration and all of your interactions with NASA. I just have to say, they did know Lost in Space was just a TV show, right? I mean, you were pretty heroic, but, you know, it wasn't real.
Oh, yes. But isn't it wonderful? I tell you, well, I've been working with them since about 1970, and I had I've had such wonderful experiences with them and getting to know so many astronauts and you know, they'll call me up and say, could you speak to our employees up at Air Force Base? And I would get in a car and go up and do it. And then I've been to two shuttle launches, and when the Endeavour landed here, I was there when it landed at LAX, and then when it went to the Forum, it paused at the Forum, and I was able to speak to about 15,000 people.
Wow.
And speak about the Endeavour and its accomplishments. And then, you know what I said? I said, isn't it wonderful to have a mode of transportation which doesn't lose its value once you drive it off the lot?
This is true, although I don't know. Not sure where they plugged the battery in, but you're right.
Yep, you never think about that.
You know, it's,
and then I was at the California Science Center when it arrived, when it was inducted down there. So I've been very close. And, of course, I had been to a launch of the Endeavour also years ago.
Yeah.
So it was a very touching. And I'm still working with them. I've done concerts for them at the Kennedy Center in Washington and appeared at many of their events that they put on. And there are more to come in the coming year.
Yeah, people have to remember, Lost in Space was on 65 to 68. We hadn't landed on the moon yet. So this, you were, you know, way ahead of the time with regard to where the show was going. There's no doubt that you've been selected as one of nine legendary ladies of stage and screen. Items from your career are at the Smithsonian Institution's first exhibit. What did you give them? What did they get from you?
My Tony Award is there.
Oh, okay.
When I won the Tony for the 47-48 season for Best Debut, there had never been a Best Debut Tony, and so it's a beautiful gold medal. And so I gave it to the Smithsonian because they asked for it, and I guess you don't turn them down. And I had a duplicate made so that I have one here in my own possession, and it was beautifully copied. But the original is there. And for that debut, and it was that was a lovely compliment.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been such an incredible career. I'm going to go back to the phones and talk to Dave from Racine, Wisconsin. Hey, Dave, you're on with June Lockhart.
June, been a fan for years. Just remember one time hearing in an interview you said that you maintained active press credentials. Do you still do that?
Well, yes. I've never had press credentials, really, but I've had a nice entree to the White House, and I do have a very grand... the first time I went to a White House presidential conference was to hear Eisenhower when Jim Haggerty was the press secretary. And I was doing the Tex and Jinx show. I was at the time. They were on vacation. And Hugh Downs and I were doing it. And I went down and with Merriman Smith and William Lawrence of the New York Times and interviewed Jim Haggerty for the show. And after which we went to an Eisenhower press conference. That was my first press conference. So I've been to lots and lots of them. And subsequently, when I was doing Steel Magnolias at the Kennedy Center in the 80s, I went to the White House briefings with Marlon Fitzwater. I went every day. And that was delicious.
I love it. Oh, that's
so remember your. I had a very nice opportunity to be there and hang out with my buddies.
Yeah. Dave, were you going to say something?
Yes, I just remembered one time you asked a question. You were at a press conference for the about the Mars Pathfinder mission, and you asked kind of a question. You were seemed almost a little embarrassed about the because it was about whether the thing would the Sojourner rover would lose what would happen if it got out of radio contact. And it was a far more intelligent question than the one asked by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who thought, well, when it would go to see the astronauts on the moon. That was her question. So I thought your question about whether it would what would happen if it was out of radio contact with the lander.
Well, that's right. Thanks, Dave. And that's because, of course, June was sort of living and lost in space for so many years. By the way, I'm getting comments, June, as well. A man named John is on a train. He says, darn, I'm on a quiet car, and we're not allowed to make phone calls. He said, I love June Lockhart. So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Oh,
and by the
nice.
I have to talk for a moment. I happen to be a Petticoat Junction fan. And, of course, Bea Benaderet on for many years as she got cancer. And she passed away. You came on the show. But I'm having a memory that weren't you on the show, and then Bea was well for a while, came back to the show before she was died. Were you both on that show at the same time for any period of time?
No, when I joined, she had already died.
Oh, okay.
And I must have been the only person in the town who didn't know that she was ill. And I thought that when the producer asked me to do the part, I was delighted. And but she was. Just really very, very ill at the time.
Okay. And you did such a great, I mean, really shifted to sort of a new being of that show at that time.
Yeah, it was a nifty part. And also it was such nice comedy and beautifully written.
And you were playing at that point, the 1960s, you're playing a physician, right? So they were also, you know, little feminism there, a
the,
women
the
physician.
Lady doctor, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, which is great. I've got Mike on the line from Montgomery. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Go ahead, Mike. You're on with June.
Go ahead, Mike.
I had a couple of questions, but I first wanted to say that my all-time favorite movie is Miracle on 34th Street, and one of my favorite scenes is when the DA asks for a motion, and Judge Harper says, Overruled. I love that scene.
I'm having trouble hearing him, but he's talking about Miracle on 34th Street. Well, if I may just address that, my father's performance, for those who don't know that he was playing the judge in that. When you listen to the dialogue of that next time you see the movie, it's really just sort of straight judge talk. You know, next and
right.
Overruled and what's your next exhibit and sit down. And I mean, and Daddy made such a comedy turn out of it. It was just superb. And it's great fun to watch him.
I love it. By the way, lest people think you are not that you are not active today. You are actually, you were doing filming for the Tesla Effect. You're on a video game, right? You did that back in February.
Yes, that was a marvelous experience. And at the time that we were shooting, it was called Tex Murphy. And that's the only thing I can tell you about it. But we shot it on green screen, and I had a ball. It was a wonderful experience, and I got to do a lot of acting in it, too, you know. So I hope that that is successful, and that was really fine.
I also want to mention, back in 86, you appeared in the film Troll, which I remember, and the younger version of you was played, people may not realize this, by your actual daughter, who's also an actress, Anne.
Yes. Shot that in Italy, and that was a lovely experience, being able to shoot over there, because on days off, of course, we did all this wonderful sightseeing and had splendid times. We went to Venice, that was a perfect experience.
Well, June Lockhart, part of my legendary television series here. I mean, you truly are one of America's most beloved TV moms. There's no question about it. It's such an honor to talk to you. With my apologies to the callers that didn't get to say hi, but you know they all just wanted to share some love with you.
Oh, that's nice.
All right. I wish you a very happy new year. We'll look forward to, the next phase. Who knows what's up next for you? Probably a new TV role, I'm sure.
Well, I'm very involved with the Los Angeles Lawyers Philharmonic. And I emcee their concerts, and they are really lawyers and judges in this whole Philharmonic. And then also they have a big band, and I've become the band chick for them, and I introduce them at the concerts.
We are going to keep in touch with you. Legendary June Lockhart, thank you. Happy New Year. You are listening
to
720 WGN Chicago. Bye-bye, June.